Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Lamal, winning the hearts of millions of fans in the 80s as the lead singer of band Kajagoogoo, hitting the top of the charts with their debut single, Too Shy. He struck out on his own and soon re-emerged in the charts again with his first solo single, Only for Love, quickly followed with the worldwide smash Never Ending Story. He now has a new single out. It's a fantastic cover of the America classic, A Horse with No Name. How are you, Lamal?
Good afternoon, Hannah.
Oh, good afternoon. Nice to chat with you. So I love that you've chosen this song. It's such a great song. Why did you decide to cover it?
I decided to cover it because I've always loved it. It's quite a unique lyric. I think we'll all agree on that. And it's kind of been, I feel like it's been with me all my life. You know, it's always been there. It's always being played and enjoyed. And subconsciously, I had two voices. One, give it a go. Other voice, don't you dare try and touch a classic. But I just fancy the challenge, really.
Yeah. It's a funny thing, isn't it, with covers? I know what you mean, the idea of all don't touch a classic. You know, people over the years who have done covers have either had criticism for changing it too much or not changing it enough. It's, you know, fans of the original song can quite easily be offended. But if you're just doing it to sound exactly the same, there's kind of no point, is there?
There is no point, and really that was my mindset as I started the project. So the acoustic guitar in the original is lovely, so I thought, right, I've got to steer clear of that. And Kajagoogoo had a beautiful synthesizer, and you can see it in the Too Shy video. It was a new kid of synthesizers on the block back in 1980, and it's called a Roland Jupiter 8. But now you can get that as a plugin in audio software. So I was playing around with that. I thought I'll go electronic-y, which is a bit, you know, Never-Ending Story, and it's a bit Kajagoogoo because that's what we were known for, and steer away from the guitar. So I got this lovely sequencer going, and it's a bit like an envelope, a wah-wah guitar, and it's called an envelope. You open the sound and you close it, so but it's a musical chord. So I could throw some reverbs and stuff on it, and it's very nice, and it was coming back to me. And really, it just started falling into place. And I say that because creatives who are, you know, whether you're making film or writing a book or music, we all get writer's block, creative block, or another project comes along and we get sort of sidetracked, or there's family stuff. And I've got half finished stuff on the shelf. I remember reading an interview with Barry Gibb where he talked about that. You know, it's just it's part of the course. But with Horse, it just kept the jigsaw puzzle pieces just kept coming and fitting until I performed the Never Ending Story on the Jane McDonald TV show, and I met her guitarist, Steve Cooper, who's based in Northampton. I sent him what I'd done so far. And I said, look, Steve, no pressure. Just throw some guitar down. Any ideas, I don't mind. I might not use it. Don't be offended. I'll still pay you, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he sent me this guitar back, and I was blown away. It took me 2 weeks to edit it. And then at the end, I just thought, I have to use this. This is like the icing on the cake. So it's a very different guitar to the original. I wasn't planning, but that's the wonderful organic process. You know, you're just throwing ideas around and you're trying things, and then you end up with this beautiful recipe.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. So it's something you're really proud with. You're happy with the result.
Oh, I'm so happy. And then another icing on the cake was doing the music video. And I'd like to urge people to go and check it out when they can, because I had so much fun with those lyrics. It's like, because the lyrics are, I think we'd all agree, it's like one of those crazy dreams when you wake up and you think, what was that? What was that all about? And so it just gave us a license, really, to be slightly bonkers in the video. And it's got this, towards the end, it gets quite apocalyptic, which we felt was, well, you know, possible leaning towards the way the world is feeling at the moment.
Yeah. So where did you film it?
Well, there's a lot of green screen and there's a lot of computer work. I did have to go to a small studio in Northwest London where we did some pieces. But yeah, these days, as you can imagine, after that, it's post-production.
Yeah, yeah, brilliant. So when you look back at the days of Too Shy and Never Ending Story, does it seem like a whole lifetime ago? I mean, can you remember those days really, really vividly?
Absolutely vividly, because it was, everything was happening for the first time. You know, we're a bunch of lads, 23, 22 years old. Suddenly, our first single is number one all over the world, including top five in America. And, you know, that was before the internet and before, you know, all the TV channels. You had to do Top of the Pops and then go and do the equivalent of Top of the Pops in Holland, in Spain, in France, in Sweden, in Portugal, et cetera, et cetera. And it was just, it was wild. It was mad. It was like getting, it was like arriving at the gym and getting on the treadmill while it's still going really fast or something.
You know? I bet you didn't get much sleep in those days.
Oh no, sleep was the, it was the last thing on our minds. But I'll tell you what, Hannah, I did learn to, I learned the skill of power naps.
Yep. Okay.
You know, because the schedules were so crazy and I'd just go to the hotel room and grab half an hour. I can still do that now. My partner doesn't understand how I do it.
It's funny, isn't it? Some people can do it and others can't.
Yeah. I mean, the trick is to make sure you set an alarm because, you know, if you sleep too long, you can mess up your circadian rhythm, I think it's called.
Oh, very good. So the single Too Shy, how did it come about? How did the song develop?
Well, that's an interesting question. So talking about my new single, A Horse With No Name, in doing my research, I discovered that there were three recordings, two demos and then the finished. That's exactly what happened with Too Shy, to answer your question. So we did a demo at home, like a home demo. Then we went into a demo studio where, you hopefully improve it. But what you're really doing is you're developing it. And then later on, after we got signed to EMI Records, after the introduction to EMI Records by Nick Rhodes from Duran Duran, they came on board as co-producers. So Nick Rhodes, along with Duran's producer, Colin Thurston, sadly the late Colin Thurston. And Colin was a great engineer. You know, I remember him getting on the phone and hiring, I want such and such analog, what would it be? It would be some sort of analog valve compressor or something for the bass drum. And he brought that. Nick was great with arrangements. And the other important thing is with five members / egos in a band, you know, the guitarist wants the guitar loud and the drummer wants the snare loud. you've got someone at the helm cracking the whip and just throw you out of the studio and just say, get out, let us get on with our job.
Yeah.
And so you have this great recipe. All the jigsaw puzzle pieces come together. It's a great time.
And how much do you think the music industry has changed since then? Do you think it's much harder for artists to get a number one hit now?
100% harder. And the sad thing is, first of all, when we looked for a record deal, there were 40 independent record companies that you could go to. And they've all been swallowed up by this thing called globalization. So the four majors, conglomerates, have swallowed up all the independents and they're left and they control the industry. So you've got Sony, Warner Music, BMG and Universal, who are also attached to film companies. So it's very hard to get that. If you go along with a million TikTok followers, they're interested, which is weird because surely it should be about the music. You know, it's very tough for any newcomers trying to make it in the business. I imagine, we thought it was tough back then. It feels to me like it's even tougher.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it, to think that a social media following would be more important than talent. But I guess it comes down to people knowing who you are and whether they're more likely to follow you and therefore buy the records. I guess that is the thing now.
I suppose you could compare it to, you know, in the old days, they would send you on tour with an already established act to try and build up your following. Mm. But here, you have to turn up with your following on social media.
Yeah, exactly. So you've been, I mean, you haven't stopped working since the 80s. You've been busy. You've done loads of performing throughout Europe, done loads of charity events. Any kind of big highlights you want to share with us?
Well, last year I did a Terence Higgins Trust event that raised over £100,000 in London. I was also at another big charity event for this Sense charity with Princess Anne, Princess Royal. And I met her and had a photograph with her. That was a thrill. It was very nice. The hush in the room just before they arrived is what I remember.
Did you have to find out about all the protocol, what to say, what not to say?
All the protocol. One thing I remember was, and I thought it was very clever, it was a small thing, but it was very clever. So the arrangers, I suppose you'd call them. So there were about in the line, let's see, maybe 25 to 30 people in this room. And we were told to go in a half moon shape. And I thought, well, that's odd. Anyway, so we go in the half moon shape. But then I realized afterwards that was very clever because it stops you leaning forward trying to see what's going on because you can just see, you see?
Yeah.
So they keep it. Everything is kept very gracious and the fine detail is looked at. But no, she was lovely and she'd just got off a plane and she hadn't long had that accident off, you know, where she fell off the horse. So, and apparently she was still recovering, but she still found time to come round and shake hands with everybody and do the do.
Yeah, nice. And there was a premiere of a new stage musical adaptation of Neverending Story in Madrid.
Yes. So I didn't even know about this. The first thing I knew is I received an invitation to go and perform on the opening night with the cast after the show. And of course, I watched the show in Spanish in Madrid at the Calderon Theatre, beautiful old theatre. And it was amazing what they've done, the investment into the stage adaptation with all the animatronics and the special effects and the creatures from the film. That's now running in Barcelona. And I'm wondering, you know, maybe I'm the last to hear, but I'm wondering if they'll ever translate it to English and we'll end up on Broadway in the West End. And further to that, Hannah, the Neverending Story book rights became available in the last 2 years and have been sold to an independent production company who are making a live action series for one of the big streaming sites.
Oh, wow. So
that'll be coming, you know, sometime in the next couple of years.
Oh, and of really course, exciting.
A Stranger Things using Neverending Story has just sent the streaming numbers crazy. I think it does 1.5 million streams a month, Neverending Story song.
That's amazing. I was going to ask you about that. It must have a huge impact when your songs are featured on big hit TV shows like Stranger Things.
And I didn't know about it again. The first I heard was my sister's two sons who were in their 20s. WhatsApped me and said, OMG, OMG. I should have been watching the show, I guess, because it was featuring a lot of 80s music. But, you know, life is busy and you can't watch everything.
Yeah.
But I read in an interview actually online that the two creators had got down to a choice of two songs and then they discovered that the other song, I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, was going to be featured in something on Prime on Amazon Prime. So they said, fine, we'll go with Never Ending Story. So sometimes you need a bit of luck in life.
Oh, definitely. Great stuff. Well, I've got your new song here to play, A Horse With No Name. People can download it from all the usual platforms. And what's next for you? An album? Have we got a new album coming out?
I don't know. I mean, I've got another new track that I'm working on. I may get to an album at some point because, we'll see. I mean, for me, Hannah, it's about quality rather than quantity.
Sure.
You know, I think as long as I can keep releasing really good quality tracks, whether it's an album or whether it's just building up on, you know, on my profile on the streaming sites, we'll see.
Yeah. Great stuff. Well, Lamal, it's been great to have you with us on Talk Radio Europe. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, can I just say, you've already said, but people can find me on social media. Just look for Lamal Official.
Perfect. Yeah. Lamal Official on all social media platforms. Great stuff. Thanks, Lamal.
Thank you.
Looking at all the life, there were plants and birds and rocks and things, and there were sand and hills and rings. The first thing I met was a fly with a bird in the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound.
Lamal and A Horse With No Name. I like what he's done. Really good. It's true. It's a weird thing with covers, isn't it? That when it's too different, it can be offensive. But when it's too samey, what's the point? So, yeah, great job, Lamal.